Hi, welcome to Not Another Marketing Podcast, where I'm talking to technical SEO consultant and digital marketer Kevin Wiles. Now, we're talking about website speed, Google's May update, and does your website really need to be super fast? Thanks for downloading. Google are having a big update in May, and the focus seems to be on site speed, especially when looking at websites on mobile phones. But how fast does our website really need to be? Now, in this episode, we're talking to Kevin Wiles, a technical SEO consultant, and we chat about website speed and if it's really worth trying to save like half a second of your page load time. We also chat about the upcoming Google update in May and what it means for marketers. Now, you can find Kevin at his website, kevinwiles.co.uk. That's Kevin, W-I-L-E-S.co.uk. Or on LinkedIn, which is Kevin J. Wiles. And on Twitter, Kev Wiles. All the links are in the show notes. Just click on those. Now, can I quickly mention that Not Another Marketing Podcast is totally ad-free. I'd love it if you could give the pod a quick shout on social media, subscribe via your favourite podcast app. Just check out all the links and more in the show notes. Now, the first thing I asked Kevin was, does website speed really matter for the small business?
I think to a degree, yes. You know, if we take search and SEO out of it for a second, there's nothing more frustrating than as a user being on a 3G device in the middle of Wales, for example, accessing that site and being like, well, like, this is taking ages, I'm going to go to a competitor. I think you really have to take a pragmatic approach and say, one, you know, an analytics can give you this data and say, okay, where are my users, what browser are they using, what connections and stuff, and looking at that, yes, it's probably important. I think for small, again, this is always a classic SEO answer, but I think for small businesses, it's going to depend on what are they doing today versus, like, in terms of content and relevancy and stuff versus what they should be doing. And actually, is that a, we should focus on site speed, but realistically probably not going to drive revenue or traffic that much because we've got underlying things like the whole site's built on JavaScript, or we've got a no index tag across the whole site. Like, I think those things are more important, but with anything with SEO and I would say digital as, and marketing as a whole, is that a prioritization roadmap is always going to be key, right? To say, where's that sit? And, you know, if you're a small business and you run something like WordPress or Shopify stuff, you could probably easily go and use, although it's not always the best approach, you could definitely go and use some of those plugins and extensions to compress files and render in like key requests earlier on in that process and stuff. But from what I've seen on small sites, it usually has very negligible impact.
I think if you've got a website that takes a minute to download, then you need to speed it up. But I've spoken to a few folks who've got websites that, like, you know, a page will load in like 3 seconds flat, and they're still trying to get it down to 2.5. That's not really going to matter so much if you're the local accountant or you're the local florist, is it?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, there are genuinely, I think, where site speed comes into play is when you look at bigger brands that try and do lots of personalization around serving you things relevant for your car or your browsing history or, you know, whatever that personalization is. Yes, absolutely, you should look at how those API scripts and stuff work. I think, to your point, you know, Pete the Painter, for example, does it really matter that his site isn't the fastest?
No.
Probably not.
No.
I think when you start calling in, like some of the big retail sites do about next day delivery, what's in stock and different color variations, and you can build this and you can build that, and this is all personalized for you, then it becomes a different ball game, I guess, because customers typically expect it. I think when you're on a more kind of service-based small website, you're not that worried if it takes a little longer. Sure, if it takes two minutes, that's definitely go and fix that, right? But you know, I know big retail brands right now that to load a page fully is like plus 20 seconds, and they're not concerned about site speed. And the reason that is that the work versus effort versus impact from what they've seen of stuff they've done over the last year and so hasn't really moved the needle for them. And there's lots of other projects and technical things and business strategy things that are more priority that can use that budget to get done. Do I think that will change come May? pass. You know, Google is very good at putting out information that says, this is coming, you better prepare for it, this is going to happen, this is going to happen. You know, Mobilegeddon was a prime example of that. They put lots of documentation out, kind of a bit of like scaremongering tactics to say, go and make sure your website works on a mobile phone properly and all these usability things. There's not been, from what I've seen, any huge case studies that say this retailer or that retailer wasn't mobile friendly and basically don't exist anymore in search. And I think that's probably going to be the same, you know, come May. I think, sure, you might see a drop and you might see a higher bounce rate and stuff, but I just don't see a business ranking, say, third today for a global keyword of like 200,000 searches a month, suddenly dropping to like position 6 or 7 and getting a like real big wake up call to say, we need to take site speed seriously. It would be nice if it happened, because I think a lot of the time the SERPs in Google are heavily skewed towards big brands, right? Because they've got bigger digital PR budgets and stuff. But
yeah,
I think I just don't see it happening. You know, cynical me would say they wouldn't do that because they know those people might get annoyed and not spend as much on paid search, but that's for a completely different conversation.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Marks and Spencer's is always going to appear above the local trouser shop because they're a public limited company. There's information published about them every single day, financially and fashion-wise, in magazines, in articles, whereas your local trouser shop is not going to have that, and they never will have that. They're never going to beat Marks and Spencer's, ever.
And, you know, I think the Google are trying to be a bit more clever. You know, for example, now one of the clients I was working with, they are seeing smaller shops, retail presence shops, losing out, gaining traction versus them. And where that is that Google's saying, we believe you probably want to go to a local store to view this product this product. And therefore, we'll serve you some map listings in Google that are based on your geo-targeting device settings. And then we'll serve you the traditional kind of like 10 blue links. But do I then think, back to the site speed question, do I think site speed impacts where you appear in Google My Business, which fires the map pack? No. Very rarely do you see surveys and studies that say to be number one in Google My Business on the map pack, you have to have the fastest site going. And I would question, that's probably because a lot of those sites for those local queries come back to like Pete the plumber and Bob the Builder sort of thing, where they just built a website because they needed to know, have a presence online. They're not completely tech savvy, but Google also knows they probably don't have huge budgets to go and spend a lot with developers to separate those JavaScript files and load them in 2 different runs and stuff.
Yeah, and again, we're putting things into context, aren't we? If your website takes 2 or 3 minutes to load a page, then you've got a problem, and that's not an SEO problem. That's a web designer's problem.
Yeah, and I think you've just now hit the nail on the head. I think a lot of the time, the whole site speed premise and everything that's talked about within site speed is people turn around and say, oh, you know, SEOs need to fix the site speed and do this. But is it an SEO issue that we should fix? Or is it fundamentally the website should be built better in a way that it loads faster? And it's not always the developer's fault. But, you know, a lot of the time I've had it in the past where there's pushback from developers of we can't do this, we can't do that. And it's like, that's great, but the site speed isn't really my domain. And it's not really, you know, if I wanted to be a through and through JavaScript coder and CSS coder, I'd have become a developer. And I think there's this really murky water at the moment that because Google's putting more presence and information out about site speed, a lot of SEOs are getting the backlash of, well, we need to fix site speed and it's an SEO job. Sure, we have the tools and the ability to say, this is the issue and these are the things that should be improved.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's our job to then go away and say, specifically on this page, this script is loading in too late or too early, or this is having too much of an impact, because we didn't build the site.
Yeah.
We didn't build the API calls. We didn't build the functionality. We didn't design it and we didn't build the imagery and all that sort of stuff. But there is, I think it's one of those areas that no one really wants to own. So sadly, because of the documentation put out there, it's coming to an SEO thing. You know, sure, if your shopping cart and your conversion process takes 30 seconds to load, go and fix that first. That is a conversion rate optimization thing that you should go and fix first, because that's probably going to annoy people and they'll abandon the cart. Then come back and look at the bigger things. You know, I've had it in the past where a client's cart, the site was ultra quick, but the actual checkout process was painfully slow. And they'd spend all this time doing all the things that they were told to do from Google, PageSpeed Insights and Lighthouse and GT Metrics and all the other site speed tools that exist, and ignored the cart, ignored the one thing that puts cash in the till. Lots of people just bounced. Then it's like, well, I thought we were going to get more traffic. So, well, you've got more traffic. The reason they're not converting is because we didn't fix the thing that actually puts money in the bank.
Yeah. If your website's rubbish, loading rubbish quicker isn't going to help you at the end of the day. You mentioned May. Google's going to be, I'm not going to go into too detail, I think there's another podcast just gone live a couple of weeks ago about all the new Google search ranking things that are coming in May. But basically, Google are focusing a little bit more, or concentrating a little bit more, on how fast websites load up on mobile phones. Am I right in saying that?
Yeah, so I think it's yes, the crux of it and the biggest part will definitely be site speed. But I think what they're actually saying is, we've as a Google entity and a unit, we've always strived to give the customer the best answer as quick as possible that then gives them the most fluid experience when they're on that site. And I think the updates in May strive further towards that around site speed, but also around user experience. You know, what is that page doing? Is it laid out in the best way? Do the images load quick? Are they pixelated? Are they not? Can I get to a product and add it in my cart quick? We, again, I'm going to come back to a client thing, but we had a sort of like an emergency kind of COVID location filter sort of thing added to every single page. That impacted site speed, not massively, but we didn't see a decline in rankings. Yeah. But on the flip side of that, what we have seen is when we then put a background image behind that kind of postcode lookup, we've started to see some rankings drop. Now, we've correlated that back and we said we've not done any tech updates, the content hasn't been changed, the product in terms of the amount of products on that category page have remained pretty much the same, are in line with competitors. Yeah. And the only real thing we've changed is we've put a really generic, non-focused product image on that category page. And where we're getting to is that actually maybe customers are bouncing because where we're trying to put them into an experience of, say, let's say car racing, when you land on that page, the image and the experience you're getting from that page is like road biking, and it's all around road cycling racing. You're like, well, I came here to be immersed in fast petrol cars, and now you're showing me pedal bikes. Yeah. And that I think, are all going to play a part in May. They've got clear directions around usability and tap elements and all that sort of stuff.
What about video? Does embedding video, even like if it's embedding a YouTube video, right? You've got your videos on YouTube and you put that in your website. Is that going to slow your website down a lot or not?
I think this is both. I've seen genuinely it impacts some speeds, some page speeds on some platforms and not on others. As long as you're, again, setting the attributes to say this is the size I want it loaded in and this is the quality and stuff, I would question it would have that much benefit. Sure. But it comes back to that same thing of what size site are you running, right? Like if you're a multi-billion pound business, you probably should have a strategy that allows you to get them loaded up as super as fast. And that then comes back to really user experience rather than speed. Because for me, it's to answer that query, do I really need a video on that page? You know, sure, on a product page, it's nice to have a video of the product and stuff, but can I load it in a way that actually nothing really loads until a user clicks it, and therefore, like, it's saving site speed and stuff? Whereas on a, let's say there's a piece of content about how to clean your car headlights, for example, probably I want a video because I don't want to be stood on my driveway reading a 1,000-word article about get some toothpaste and then do this. Don't put toothpaste on your headlights. I don't think it will work. but that sort of scenario, right? Like I think you have to understand that comes back to the context of what you're optimizing for. And I think you have to understand that to say, is it even needed in this instance?
Yeah. What about those giant video backgrounds? You know, we've all seen them when we load up a website and then eventually at some point in the future, this giant video thing appears in the background with text and boxes overlaid on top of it. And it's like, oh my days, my eyes, it's hurting them. I mean, for a start, I think that's a really bad user experience myself personally. But does that slow your website down a lot, or can it?
Yeah, I mean, for sure. I mean, I think like some of the instances I've seen that are definitely on bigger like media publisher sites, right? And again, they've done that for commercial reason, which is we can sell this space to one of the big retailers in the UK or big brands, and they'll pay a premium to be all over our pages.
Yeah.
Some of the media sites out there have the worst site speed that you could possibly imagine. Yeah. And that is because they've got tracking scripts, they've got big videos, they've got overlays that then go on top of that video. And you're not going to go to a big media site in the UK and say, from a site speed point of view, you need to get rid of that, because they'll go, cool, well, you tell me if by doing this, improving the site speed by 2 seconds, you will make up for the revenue we'll lose by not selling that to a supplier.
Yeah. But if you're the local accountant and you've got like a background video that keeps rotating every 10 seconds of kind of like the logo in reception and then the desk and a set of chairs and stuff, you know, and the plant pot on the side. If you've got that rotating round every 10 seconds in the background, that's pointless. That's going to slow things down, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, my first question when you said that is why? Why? Yeah. What possible reason would you have to do that? Like, a customer, if they want to see your business in the gallery, upload more pictures to Google My Business, right? If you're a local business, focus on local and put those pictures where that user is searching, or put it on a gallery page, you know, meet the team and put it on there.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's talk a little bit about website hosting as well, because I think there's a few things that we can do, aren't there, to speed things up. Shared hosting, Cheap hosting is bad, but do we need to go and buy expensive servers all for our little 15 page website?
No, I mean, I have definitely fallen in that trap where I'll have like 5 or 6 domains all renewing at the same time, and I'll go, I'll just get some cheap shared hosting, it'll be fine. It probably is, like, it genuinely probably is fine for the really small, you know, my parents or my mom runs a small business from home. Does she need a dedicated server? Like, absolutely not, right? Like, that server's probably more than she earns in a year. But I think shared hosting is fine to a degree. Sure, if you're running an e-commerce site, probably not, and you should probably go and do something better. I think, do you need to go as far as getting a dedicated server? Probably if you're, like, a big brand, yes. You know, if nothing else, for more compliance reasons and data collection and GDPR and all those things that go with it. But for me, I always take a look of, like, it depends on the CMS I'm working with. So if it's a WordPress site, I'll go and look for some of the dedicated WordPress, like, hosting specialist providers that are out there that have built their business and their product offering on specialist hosting in that area that is built for speed and customer experience. And the same with, like, you know, Shopify, Wix, Squarespace, all of those sort of things. Usually you can get dedicated hosting. Now, some of them definitely won't be that great, but that then comes down to the limitations of that CMS, I think. But, you know, broadly, if we make a sweeping statement that 60% or whatever probably of small businesses use something like WordPress, Go and invest in some dedicated WordPress specialist hosting.
Yeah, I think £1 a month for your web hosting says it all, doesn't it?
Yeah.
That's not going to give you high quality.
No, and I think, you know, I'm the worst for investing in kind of my own self-development and learning. Like, I'm like, oh, that course is £400. Oh, it's a bit expensive.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't have any issues really going to the pub and meeting friends when we were allowed and spending like £100-130 on meal and drinks for the day and the evening. And I think, you know, if you're a painter and decorator, you'd go and buy the best equipment to help you do that job. And I think you should do the same when you're buying hosting. You know, I think...
Yeah.
The dedicated WordPress hosting I was talking about at the moment, I think, is about £130 a month. It's about £130 a year. So it's about £10 a month. So it's not groundbreakingly expensive, but definitely will pay off in the future.
You mentioned WordPress. Is WordPress generally slow? I mean, you hear there's a lot of folks, a lot of web designers particularly, who say, oh, no, you shouldn't use web designer. You should open up a blank page on your screen and hand code the whole website. It'll cost you £20,000 and it's going to take 6 months, but it's going to be coded perfectly. Hey, and then you can buy a WordPress website and have it done in 6 weeks. Right, for half the cost. Right. So does that mean WordPress is slow and WordPress is bad?
I think where WordPress gets a bad rep from a site speed point of view is that when people are struggling or want to save costs in a business, they'll usually say, okay, I'm going to go and buy a theme, right? There's the sites like themeforest.net and there's tens of thousands and they look incredible. You're like, just download that, change the logo, change the colors, job done, right? And you could do that Sunday afternoon, couple of cups of tea and you'll be fine. Then you start adding plugins. So you want to add a gallery to show people around your office and you want to add a contact form and you want to add some video stuff and you want to do something quirky with, I don't know, your brochures or whatever it might be, there's a plugin for that. There's a plugin for everything. You know, I can have a countdown clock timer to say next time I'll run an event. Awesome. I can have a donations feature. Amazing. When you start adding more and more plugins and more different parts of themes, I think that's where it starts to get really clunky, because all of those are adding in their own amount of JavaScript, CSS, HTML, that's all then impacting the load on the server. I think, I maybe my approach is wrong, but I always just basically write down on a piece of paper, okay, I'm building this website, what's it really need to do? So if I'm building a small e-commerce site, I'll go, right, I'm building an e-commerce site. I know that. I need an abandoned cart email plugin or development. Cool. I know that I need a shopping cart functionality. Cool. So I'll download WooCommerce. Even then, you can then go and buy plugins that help you with site speed, right?
Yeah.
And I think it comes down to like that whole point that we spoke about earlier, is that pragmatically, if it takes 30 seconds to load, probably go and do something about it. And, you know, paired specialist developer who knows WordPress or the Shopify, whatever platform it is, inside out, and can go and pull that apart and either rebuild things or take that plugin that you've purchased or theme you plugged in and stripped out a lot of the like code bloat and junk.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think with WordPress particularly, I think you need to, I mean, my own opinion is that folks need to look at what they need their website to do right at the beginning and then pick a theme which does 95% of what you want it to do and get a proper theme and not go and spend £20 on a theme. Go to a theme created by a company that is actually employing people to create this theme and that require sales of the theme to keep running, yeah?
Yeah. I think, you know, there are so many sites out there. If you literally want to build a WordPress site for your gardening business or whatever it is, you can go and get a theme, because you probably just need something really simple, and you could probably go and you could use one of the free WordPress themes, right?
Yeah.
But it just gets complicated when you start adding widgets and features and all that sort of stuff. And I think sometimes it's like when you buy a car. They're like, oh, you can have this special feature that if you hover your foot under the back of the boot will open. It's like, not had that for 20 years, but this time sounds amazing. I'm going to have it. Like, do you really need it? Do you really, really, really need that plugin? And most of the time it's like, no, I don't need that special fancy video flashy box thingy that pops up and says, welcome to my website. I can do without it. But it's the shiny object thing again, right? Like it's new for those people that don't do it every day. And I think as well, you know, just housekeeping of that WordPress website. If there's things that have got new updates, go and update them. That's good for security. That's good for the code that they're releasing. But equally, go and do a refresh. You know, did you have a newsletter plugin that you had for 6 months installed? You've had one person subscribe and you've decided you don't have time to run the newsletter. Go and deactivate it. Take it off the site. Delete it completely off the site, and make sure that there's no instances of that code left on the site. Because I logged into my WordPress site the other day, which is going to make me sound incredibly bad, but I had like 46 plugins, some installed, some not, that I just, over time, had added some cows and added some cows. And I was like, wow. Like
that would give me kittens, that would, 46 plugins,
But anyway, honestly, they're like the same, a few plugins did exactly the same, but just tried different things, or plugins that I thought would be a cool feature that then actually I was like, don't really need this.
Yeah, absolutely. So we've talked about all these plugins, we've talked about all these themes, we've talked about complicated things happening. Do you think we need to sit back sometimes and just look at our website and maybe simplify it an awful lot?
Probably. I mean, it's really going to depend again. And I hate using the SEO classic of it depends, right? Everyone's like, oh, those SEOs always say it depends. But if you've got a huge website and you need those features commercially and you know they have a benefit, fine. Now look at how you've clearly got the budget to build those tools in the first place. So look at how you build those tools in an efficient manner so that it doesn't impact site speed. I think if you're on the other side of that and you're a small business, is question, do you really need it again?
Yeah.
And the other part of it is, does it really, really, really matter at the end of the day for a small business to have slightly slower site speed? And I can't believe I'm saying that sometimes it's okay to have a poor site speed, but I think it is a very much case-by-case situation to say, is this site loading as fast as it should be? No. Am I in the position to spend £3,000 with a developer to fix that? No. Okay, well, what can I remove from the plugins to get that done? Or even, do I really think it's going to have an impact on how I rank? maybe not. You know, plumbers, do plumbers get that much? Plumbers is a bad example, but do painters and decorators really get that much business from being number one for, say, painting and decorating in Stratford on Avon? Maybe a few inquiries, but I think if you spoke to any busy painting decorator, they'd say the majority of their stuff comes through from referrals, from people coming in and going, "Oh, your house looks lovely," and then conversation starts, and then you get that
Right, brilliant. Kevin, I could talk to hours, I could talk for hours on this.
referral.
Tell us where we can find you. Where's your website? Where's all your social media bits and pieces?
Yeah, so I am. My website is just kevinwiles.co.uk. Some people always get confused with Wiles, so it's just Wiles, not WH, not Willies, nothing like that, just Wiles. And then my Twitter is Twitter handle is just Kev Wiles again, Wiles. Don't have Facebook. LinkedIn is just Kevin J Wiles. Anything, any questions, any tips or tricks anyone wants to know, literally my inbox and Twitter is always open. And yeah, I love to chat SEO, so.
Fantastic, Kevin. I really appreciate your time. Thanks.
No worries, thanks so much.
Thanks again to Kevin for his time. Don't forget to catch up with him on his website, on social media, and that. All the links in the show notes. Now, if you've enjoyed this episode, then you can subscribe for more, because there's more on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, your favourite podcast player. Just search for Not Another Marketing Podcast. Thanks for listening.